When John Paul II was elected Pope on October 16, 1978, the first thing he said to the whole world when he emerged on that balcony overlooking St. Peter's Square was, "Be not afraid." These are words we desperately need to hear in our culture and society today. Each of us gathers here weekly in our spiritual home, bringing with us our joys and sorrows, our triumphs and tribulations. We're each experiencing things in our life which we bring to Jesus in the Eucharist to pray for peace, gratitude, healing, and understanding as we travel life's journey. We each encounter difficult issues daily with our families, our faith, our career, school, and many other areas. The youth suicide rate in America has increased 56% in less than two decades, according to the CDC. And the United States has 5% of the world's population, yet consumes 80% of the world's opiate drugs. We have addictions to deal with, firstly of cell phones, Netflix, food, drugs, alcohol, gambling, video gaming, pornography, just to name a few. These are affecting our relationships, our marriages, our families, our society today, and also for future generations. The United States is the wealthiest country in the history of the planet. So if prosperity is the answer to peace and happiness, why are we experiencing this depression, anxiety, discourse, and unhappiness? Perhaps we're looking for peace and happiness in the wrong places. John Paul II also said this: "It is Jesus that you seek when you dream of true happiness. He's waiting for you when nothing else you find satisfies you. He is the beauty to which you are attracted." And Jesus himself says this in Holy Scripture six times: "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." So Jesus must be the center and the priority and motivation for the way we live our lives. We need to keep our personal relationship with Jesus active and alive to keep things in proper perspective. We can never, ever give up, and we need to share our faith joyfully with others. There's many factors for what's happening in our world today, but we must look honestly at the trends of our faith and ask, what is the common denominator? What is missing in our culture and society today? Perhaps it's a right relationship with Jesus and communicating with him in prayer, as well as proper disposition. You can't simply stop attending Mass, stop praying, have a large secular movement attempting to swallow up God from our society altogether by the way we live our lives and to live righteously, and not expect consequences throughout society, because evil is real. Heaven is real, but so is hell. And they're both referred to over and over and over again throughout Holy Scripture. So we come to pray just as the tax collector and the Pharisee did. There's much to pray for: our families, each other, our church, those in purgatory, and how about our priests? But it's not enough to simply pray. God is challenging each of us today to examine our heart and soul and our prayer life, and to approach each situation and each prayer with total and complete humility. Because it's our genuine intentionality and our sincere motivation that is most pleasing to God. As we hear in the first reading today from Sirach, listen to these words again: "The Lord is God of justice, who knows no favorites. He hears the cry of the oppressed. The Lord is not deaf to the cry of the orphan, nor the widow when she pours out her complaint. The one who serves God willingly is heard. his petition reaches the heavens. The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds and does not rest until it reaches its goal. These and other daily readings from Holy Scripture bring us a great deal of joy and hope. We all need to spend more time with Holy Scripture reading to strive for holiness. We can have total and complete confidence that our prayer will be heard if we pray with a proper intentionality and humility. This doesn't mean we'll always get what we want, though. Remember that part of the Our Father, "Your will be done." We're called to conform our will to the will of the Father. And who remembers the old Garth Brooks song, "Sometimes I Thank God for Unanswered Prayers"? This is true for many of us, I suspect, and many of us would have lived a different life if all of our prayers were answered. As we contemplate our prayer life, we also need to look at how we live. It's appropriate then to contrast the seven cardinal sins with seven heavenly virtues. The seven cardinal sins are pride, greed, envy, lust, gluttony, wrath, and sloth. And the seven heavenly virtues, chastity, temperance, charity, generosity, diligence, patience, gratitude, and finally, humility. And God is in anguish, begging us to lead a virtuous life and to frequent the sacraments. Jesus used the parables often to teach his apostles about life. But today we hear Jesus using a parable to teach those that were convinced of their own righteousness. Jesus' parable in today's gospel penetrates deeply into the attitudes that often lie below the surface. The tax collector knew exactly what he was about and prayed in such a humble, contrite, and simple manner. His prayer was direct and simple. "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." This prayer is not complicated or sophisticated. In contrast, the Pharisee, we're told in the parable of the gospel, quote, spoke this prayer to himself. With self-satisfied contentment, he lists off his own merits, and he tries to justify himself by following the letter of the law, but he's doing so out of duty, not out of humility or total love for God. It does seem as though he is talking only to himself, and the only mention of anyone other than himself is to compare himself with the tax collector. Comparing ourselves to and judging and gossiping about others is a profound and dangerous waste of precious time. The theme of today's readings and the readings we've been listening to for the past 10 consecutive weeks from Luke, we finish up today, which is fitting since next month we're finishing up the year of prayer. These readings have all been about virtues and vices, faith, fidelity, prayer, devotion, humility, persistence, and maybe most importantly, the right relationship with God. The Christian life and the entire Paschal mystery, the Passion, Death, and Resurrection, is a reversal of the norms, standards, and structures of this world. Jesus did not conform to this world in spite of his temptations, and we need to do our best to follow his example. God and his precepts will not change. Relativism is the idea that views are relative and there is no universal or objective truth. Well, we know God is the truth, and he will not make an adjustment to his precepts to accommodate our lifestyle. What is legal is not always moral. What are moral are the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. So, in closing, it's the right relationship with God through prayer and conducting our lives according to His holy will in true humility that we will please God. And this is ultimately what each and every one of us will be judged on. If we seek peace, if we seek joy, if we seek happiness and to be exalted, then we must first learn to humble ourselves. There's reason for great joy here today. Jesus is alive. What a beautiful gift and a beautiful privilege it is to be alive today. And this is exactly the time and place that God wants each of us to be. So be not afraid. Amen.